If you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 9. Matthew, chapter 9. Matthew, chapter 9. And we're going to look at some particular verses here this morning. Matthew, chapter 9. Get myself there real quick. All right, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Verse 36, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the word of God, and thank you for what we've read and what we're about to receive. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to be moved by the word of God in the direction that we ought to be moved. We just thank you. I just pray you'd help me to say something that would make a difference. And we thank you for just the opportunity to listen to the word of God. And what a great privilege we have when so many are don't even have a whole Bible to read. And Lord, and so many are ignorant of the word of God. And we have the words of life. So Lord, help us to realize there's only one to whom we can go, the one that has the words of life. And Lord, we come to you today and we ask your help in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, in the day when the Lord Jesus walked the earth, he looked at the people of Israel and they were all going their own way. They were pretty much like they were almost back in the day of the judges. Every man did what was right in his own eyes, and there's no clearer picture of that than the United States of America today. Pretty much that's the way people are. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes, and even the government doesn't even follow its own law. You know, I was thinking about that, and just thinking of all the different laws that are just not enforced. And I mean, granted, there's a lot of laws that probably could be done away with because they're redundant. But it's almost like they make laws just so they can use them as a weapon later against certain people. But they don't enforce the laws. You look at the immigration laws; they don't enforce the penalties for them. They don't enforce them at all, and everything like that. And so, you know, it does is cause our nation to become more lawless, doesn't it? And Israel was that way in large part. And the Lord looked at them, and when he saw the multitudes, the first thing is he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. You know, if we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have compassion on the multitudes. Compassion on the lost. Now, that goes without saying, but the question I have, and the question I just leave you with, is do you have any compassion? When you go out amongst the people in the world, do you look at them and just look at them with disdain because of their sin and somehow, whether you say it outwardly or not, congratulate yourself that you're not like one of them, or do you have compassion on them? Do you care for their soul? Do you care if they get saved or not? And so he said they fainted. A lot of these people we look at and we see what happens to them, and we see them faint and fall by the wayside, and we see the casualties that the devil and the destruction that the devil and sin has wrought in their lives. It ought to give us compassion on them. And they were scattered abroad, sheep having no shepherd. They don't know where to turn. They're just running around on their own. There's one thing about sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd will always be destroyed. Sheep without a shepherd will always be destroyed. That's just a fact. Sheep without a shepherd will always be destroyed. I don't have any sheep, but I do have chickens, and they're as dumb as sheep. Maybe dumber. And, you know, they'll go out, and I like to let them free range and everything like that, but by doing that, there's one guarantee is I'm going to lose chickens. Because they're going to get to a place where they don't need to be, and something's going to get them. There's foxes, there's coyotes, there's bobcats, and all these things that we talked about before. So I always end up having to go buy more chickens if I want to have eggs. Every year I have to buy a few chickens to, you know, and some years I've had years where my chickens have been completely wiped out. Why? Because they're dumb. Somebody needs to, the only way I could keep my chickens from being eaten up is for me to be out there and supervise them 24/7, and I can't do that. And then we look at sheep, but sheep without a shepherd, they're going to be in danger. And, you know, it's the shepherd that builds the fences. It's the shepherd that trains the dogs. It's the shepherd that does the work and plants the pasture and everything that's necessary for the sheep to be able to have what they need so they don't need to wander and everything like that. It's the shepherd that does all that. And the simple fact is, people are like that. They're sheep having no shepherd. They're just wandering about, and it's going to lead to destruction. Do we not understand that? We have to understand that. These people that we see every day, they are headed for destruction. And then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So there's a abundant or plenteous harvest, but few laborers. And then he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So you and I, we ought to be able to look at the job that is before us if we have any compassion for the lost and we're trying to win the lost. And you know, even though numerically it is possible, I've done a thing like that before, is it possible to win the world of Christ? Numerically possible. And if you go out and if you were to go out and one person wins somebody to Christ, and then those two go out and win somebody to Christ, then those four go out and win somebody to Christ, and then those eight go out and win somebody to Christ, then those 16 go out and win somebody to Christ. If we had that type of exponential growth in people getting saved, the entire world would be won to Christ in a matter of a couple of years at most. I'd have to run the actual numbers again and work, but you can do it yourself. It's possible. But the hardness of men's hearts and the limitations that we have, on being able to get to this place or that place, and a lot of these limitations and things that we have that stop us from being able to reach so many people, we look at that function and we look at that focus, and so we realize that men's hearts are hardened and something's got to get through, and we realize that we have limitations, so we need help. Now, when there's a great harvest and there are limitations and problems, the smart thing to do is ask for help, isn't it? And so he says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, first of all, the question would mean, do you have compassion? Did you this week give out one gospel tract, talk to one person, are you trying to harvest? We'll look into that a little bit more. And then secondly, do you realize your limitations and realize that you need help, that we need help in this work? We need to stop assuming that there's going to be help and start asking for help. That's one thing God says. God makes this a command. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Luke chapter 10 verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. John chapter 4 verse 35. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Now, there is an absolute truth that is necessary, that when we talk about this harvest being great, and the fields being white unto harvest, and we need to have laborers, and we need to ask for help, and we need to pray for help. We need to pray for the Lord to send laborers into his harvest. There's a truth in this that we're not ground zero in this. We're entering into other men's labors. There are other people. There are other pastors that were in this pulpit before me preaching the gospel. There are other members of the church going out knocking doors and sending out literature and all the things that we've done and the things that we may do. There's the same thing that goes on and on and on. And we give the gospel out and we don't always get somebody to get saved. And maybe they get saved with somebody else's testimony or somebody else sharing the gospel with them. We sow and by God's grace we reap. And we have to understand that. And we have to understand that when there's laborers there that are sent forth, there's an expectation of wages. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. What could be better? That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. So we see the two ends of the effort. We see the sowing and we see the reaping, right? We see the work there that's done by the laborers. And we should never get discouraged just simply because we're not doing all the reaping. We ought to be praying that we do the reaping and praying for folks to get saved, but we ought to be diligent to do the sowing. You don't get any reaping without sowing. You know, we have a culture, a subculture now that's come up, and it's actually a good thing, don't get me wrong, okay? It's called foraging, and these people go out and they've learned, they are learning, like our forefathers did, to identify different wild-grown plants, that mushrooms and different things like that, that are okay to eat. I've kind of gone around my own property and looked at stuff and say, okay, what is here? If push came to shove, is there something here that I could eat here and everything? And I've identified a few types of mushrooms that seem to grow on my property. They're not gourmet type stuff, but they're edible. I say, okay, so push comes shove, you know, those things are edible. And I might try to work out some way to figure out how to put them into a dish or something like that, or see how they work. And so we've looked at different things, and we've looked at, you know, I'm in the process of trying to look at all the trees that grow on my property and see if any of them can be used for anything like that, because it's just a good, smart thing to do. I think it is. But, you know, they ask the idea of foraging and going out, but God does not. God does not equate the harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. He doesn't equate it to foraging. He equates it to farming, doesn't he? Now, the farmer doesn't just go out there and haphazardly look for something growing to eat. That's the forager. The farmer puts the labor in, doesn't he? He tills the soil. He pulls the weeds. He fertilizes. He plants. He waters. And he reaps. And there's the thing that we have to understand when it comes to being a soul winner, is that all of these things are necessary. We'll look a little bit more of that. But let's get back to the initial point where he said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Why? Why do we need to pray and ask for help? Well, we're told to by the Lord, and that is self-evident. If God says to do it, we ought to do it. But what's the practical reason? The practical reason is that there's a great harvest and the laborers are few. We need help. Now, once again, we have this question. Why would we neglect something that has been said multiple times in the Word of God by the Lord? Why would we neglect to pray for people to get saved, people to get called to preach, people to be missionaries, people to be soul winners? Why would we neglect to do that? You know, I thought on this, and basically there's two reasons. Neither one is good. Reason number one is because we're without compassion. We just don't care. And we have to guard against that. Guard against the hardening of our hearts to where we just don't care about the lost folks around us. We don't care. We don't carry gospel tracts. We don't take the time to share a gospel tract. You know, gospel tracts are wonderful things. They're tools. They're simple things that allow us to just reach out and do something very quickly. Put the Word of God and the Gospel in somebody's hand in an instant. Just to get, you don't have a whole lot of time. And I like the idea of confrontational soul winning. I like to go up and talk to people and ask people, if you die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Are you sure your sins are forgiven? Are you sure? Do you know the Lord? Go down all the ways we might present the Gospel. But this is a way to where, just like our putting out the mailers, it's a way to plant. It's the way to sow a seed, and the seed is the Word, right? The field is the world, and the seed is the Word of God. And it's a way to just put it in somebody's hand, and just put a smile on your face and say, hey, I just want to, you know, I just hope you have a great day. I'd like to invite you to church sometime. And it's just a nice gesture. You put it in somebody's hands. You say, well, they may just throw it away. Well, what if they do? You answer your own question. They threw it away. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, do you care? Do you care whether they die and go to hell? And do you care whether you obey God or not? Do you care? One of the first reasons why we wouldn't obey this is we just don't care. He said, well, preacher, what's the other reason? You just don't believe. Unbelief. And I understand they may go, those two things may go hand in hand, but one, and we probably get to the first one by
by the second one. We probably get to know compassion through unbelief. But let's just be honest about this. We've got to get to the point as Christians, or back to the point if need be, assuming we've ever been there, we need to get to the point to where we believe what God says. God told us that the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few, and He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. The harvest belongs to God, doesn't it? He is the Lord of the harvest, is He not? That He would send forth what? Laborers into His harvest. That people would be called. That people would be engaged in the work. That people would have compassion for the souls of men and care and share the gospel. And it's so easy I've been ashamed several times in the last month. The thought came I needed to have a gospel track, and I didn't have it because I changed shirts and wasn't diligent to put them back in my pocket. And so I'm sitting there, and I go ahead and invite people to church anyway. Say, hey, I'm a pastor of such and such place, and we invite them to church or whatever like that. But wouldn't it be so much easier and so much better to not just give them an invitation to church, but to give them a gospel? These are the things that we do. A lot of times we fail. But that's the whole point. That's what we're supposed to be about. But we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to pray for more people. Now, if God said, He being the Lord of the harvest, if He told us, hey, if you need help, ask for it. When you see you need help, ask for it. You see, He told them that the harvest is plenteous. He told us that the harvest is plenteous. He told us that the laborers are few. But the problem is we don't see with His eyes. We don't see what He sees. And we go and we live by what we see and what we're looking at, what we're thinking of. And He says, when we see that we need help, we ought to be asking for help. Have you been asking for help? Why not? Do you believe God really doesn't care? Do you believe God won't keep His word? Why would He tell us to do that? It's an amazing thing. He talks about sending forth those laborers, and we talked about people who sow and people who reap. But if you go and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we see another aspect of it, of this, that is talked about in the Bible. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when Paul is dealing with them their divisions and their carnality, in verse 5, he says, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labors. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And then he says, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Now, there's the picture that we see about that. Obviously, the foundation is Christ, but Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, he didn't talk about reaping there, but it's implied in the fact that God gave the increase. I go out there and I planted my garden. I'm going to tell you what, my garden right now is well watered. With all this rain we've had, I have a well-watered garden. I don't know if some of my stuff is going to even make it through. I may have to till it under and replant. But because of so much rain we've had, may have too much water. But the idea is I plant and I water and I take care of it and do what's necessary about the garden or the farm or the field or whatever it may be. I do what's necessary, and eventually it comes up, and God gives the increase, and then somebody goes out and harvests it, right? So it's implied in there. But the simple fact is, so herein that we need to understand in the work of God, there are two steps. There are two steps that we look at in terms of, you know, planting, sowing, and reaping, right? Planting a seed, reaping the harvest. But there are steps in between as well. There's labor in between that we're talking about. There's the whole picture is there, the planting, the watering, and then the reaping. Now, you know all this, but why aren't you involved in it? Why aren't you praying for people to do that? How many of you here, before you got saved, you had somebody give you a gospel tract? Alright. Now they may have been planting, they may have been watering. And I'm not saying gospel tract is the only way, or even the preferred way of getting the gospel out. But it is one way, it's a very simple way, it's something we ought to do. So this is the thing that we need to understand when we look at the Word of God, we look at the things and we look at our own experience. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you had somebody give you a gospel tract in the last 6 months? You had somebody give you one in the last 6 months?
Possibly in the last. I know in the last year.
In the last year. But you'd think if there were enough laborers, you'd be going out and hitting gospel tracts on a regular basis, right? Means people aren't planting, people aren't watering, and if people don't plant, people don't water, there's no harvest, is there? One plants, another waters, God gives the increase. God's the one that makes this thing grow. So we ought to be able to look after and say, you know what? It's not enough laborers. We need help. Simple logic based on believing God's word and seeing the truth of it with our own eyes and heart. So when we look at the idea of winning souls, there's a necessity here. We need laborers. But for some reason, we don't see the need, do we? Why don't we see the need enough to pray for and ask for help? Once again.
I don't care. That could be one reason. And the other one is they don't believe. Well, preacher, people are hard nowadays. I've got news for you. People have always been hard. People have always been hard, and there have always been reprobates, people that God that somehow have passed over deadline. God said, that's enough. Look at Pharaoh. You know, God hardened his heart. How did God harden his heart? He just quit dealing with it. That's all he has to do. How is God going to harden and send a strong delusion that people should believe a lie? What's going to happen? Well, the influence of the Holy Spirit is going to be taken away, particularly through the church, right? Now think about that. We talk about the tribulation period and the things that are going to happen and all the world worshiping the beast and their heart, men's hearts, heart, and seeing all the torments that God and judgments that God sends on the world, and they're going to blaspheme Him and curse Him. And only a remnant will be saved during that period. People have always had hard hearts. But is there anything too hard for the Lord? We've just got to get back to the place of believing God's word, praying for laborers. Something to think about. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close this lesson and then we'll close the service till the morning preaching. Father, thank you for the word of God. Help us to understand the necessity of it. Help us, Lord, to have compassion on the lost and dying world around us. Help us to do what we can, whether it's just water or sow or whatever the case may be. Lord, through all that we're doing individually as a church, but above all, Lord, help us to see that you've told us when we see we need help, we should ask for it. So, Lord, open our eyes and let us see the task, what it really is. Help us, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name.